For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Guaranteed.
No.
Guaranteed. You buzz me up, Scotty. No. You know how they had to beat me up, Scotty?
No.
I'd be getting buzzed like a mug, and I'd be, hey, and I'd be, y'all can laugh all y'all want. If I win that chess match for $3 million.
Your nickname would change. You would be,
buzzed.
You would be Buzzy.
And, that, and that's what, hey, guess what? And I'd have that on my license plate, too. And I would officially change my name, too. Can you just do like
Buzzy
like,
Foreman?
No, like, you're no, not. No, I'm Buzzy. I just no last
just
name.
Buzzy.
That's
like,
it.
Just Buzzy.
Just call me Buzz.
Just like Cher.
Yep.
Just like the
just Buzz.
Just what like up, Tiger.
Buzz? Yeah,
just like Tiger. Goat.
Yep. Buzz.
402-464-5685. Start him and text line, how to Lincoln Hotline. If you want to call in, text in, and join the conversation.
But then I wonder what the buzz fee is. You know, you got to find what you got to pay somebody to buzz.
Yeah, because somebody has to be the buzzer. Like,
so
you have to trust somebody.
I take my answer back. I don't know.
You have
yet.
To trust somebody enough that
well, we end this together, though.
Well, but what happens? Because if it's your boy, the first time y'all have a couple of drinks too many, it's going to come up.
Yeah,
it's gonna come up. It's like,
you know what else is coming up? That $3 million in my bank account. Yeah, you can talk junk all you want. I'm getting buzzed up. Thank you very much. Hey, and I ain't even mad at the dude that had the weights in his fish.
It's like Cheaters Week, man. It's like Cheaters Week.
It made national news.
It was there's
on national news.
Fisher, the Fisher guy, and the best part is the guy who caught them. Was cool.
he
was cool as the cucumber, man. He looked at dude like, man, you busted. You busted, bro. And then everybody else wanted to fight. He's like, no, let him go. I got this.
No, but why did he zip the fish open? He's like, I told you, I got him. And then everybody.
You get it on film? Like, because people wouldn't have believed it, right? So he did it while he waited until everybody got there.
He waited until everybody came in with their fish, and they like, man, this is the only
this
dude didn't have the little melting pot, and he the only one getting 20-pound little bass fish, not even in bass season.
And they're x-raying it, and you can't see it because he's using fish fillet inside that he stuffs inside the fish. And then, but he had metal bullets.
No, they were like.
Weights.
Those are like
casting weights. Is that
yeah? Like if you really wanna, if you got a real like thick line that say like you're deep sea fishing, those are things you put on there. You know to cast it.
I was trying to figure it out.
He's like, I'm using these weights I caught some marlins with.
I mean, he was pulling out full fillets. Like he was stuffing the fish with
Nate, they were like,
how did I not
Nate,
see this?
They were like little grenades, like M80s.
And putting it inside the fish.
Killing them.
And those other fishermen, those other fishermen were hot.
Then the one dude was like, you beat me last time. You beat me last tournament.
You're going to jail. You should go to jail. You're a cheater. And so it's just, sports, every now and then, sports happens. They're huge cheaters in sports. So think back to Pete Rose when the Pete Rose thing happened.
Or Brett's
Yeah, well, George Brett's
George Brett,
Pine Tar.
Pine Tar, come running out of the dugout.
Gaylord Perry using Vaseline. Yeah.
What was the guy that had the file, and then when he came out
From the Yankees.
He threw it out. He threw it over his head.
He tried to hit him with the no-look.
Yeah. Like the salt over the shoulder.
Who are the greatest cheaters in sports? Because this guy,
Johnson.
The chess Johnson. The Astros only did what the Red Sox and the Yankees had done first. Yeah. They just did it better.
They did it very well.
They just did it better.
They did.
The Patriots.
That ain't cheating. If you dumb enough to have your practice right there, that ain't cheating. You deserve to lose. You stupid.
Well, but football gate, I mean, that's cheating.
That's not. The people have been doing that forever.
The deflate gate?
Yeah.
So you see how look at little Jay Foreman over there with the little pin. Push the ball. Fran Tarkenton looking at Jay Foreman like.
Oh, when you're a ball boy, David, like some quarterbacks like the balls, like, you know, fully, you know. It's almost, I mean, that's even Aaron Rodgers even said it. He's like when he played San Diego, he even admitted, but it was just the fact that it was the Patriots.
Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre is now in the.
He can't catch a break. They went back to 2015 on you.
Text line, tell us who are the greatest cheaters.
Brett Favre was kind of, he's like innovative. He's like, look, man, these guys are in prison. This free labor. Hey, I came up with a great idea. They could work for me. Brett Favre said, listen here, I got a perfect idea. When I'm driving to my, 100-acre, land, I see the guys out there, with the yellow on to say that, they're prison workers. You know what the best thing that for them to do? Come work for me.
Free money. Free.
The Corey Lincoln has to go with the Sammy Sosa's corked bat. That was a good one.
But everybody corked bat.
Oh, yeah. Phil Niekro.
Nuxie cut up his nails. He Brill Cream. He put hair gel on the baseball.
I remember Phil Niekro.
Phil okay. So this is an interesting thing. So first of all, okay, let's put a pin there. Jay, please tell them about our sponsor.
The Mercado, 84th and Havelock, certified Piedmontese and their special ingredients. Butcher shop. They have take home. They have pasta. They got any cut of meat and any meat that you want. Seafood. And then, obviously, the restaurant has a great appetizers, entree, and dessert menu. And the strawberry sorbet from their butcher shop is off the chain.
All right, Nate, I'm putting that in your DMs on Twitter so you can actually watch the video. I'm not sure we could even play the video because of the language. Because them dudes was heated. They were heated.
I'm glad you sent me this because I haven't seen.
The one dude had a rough day on the lake because he had the plumber's crack going on. He didn't even pull his pants out with the plumber's crack.
And just stood there the whole time, right in front of everything.
We got weights in the fish.
This is a good one. This is a good one. Patrick Reed. The golfer Patrick Reed.
Yeah. I mean, golfers cheat. Who was Ruiz, the young lady who swore she was the first woman to win the Boston Marathon, but she cut through the park.
What?
She cut through the park.
I didn't know that one. That's awesome.
Rosie Ruiz.
That's what I'm
Rosie.
How does no one catch that?
Hey, no. She just veered off. She just veered off. This was back in the 70s or 80s. And it's happened to a couple of marathoners where people, they're like, wait a minute. You don't show up at any of the spots where they keep track of that sort of stuff. But she was
Oh, hold on. They said the guy from the fishing, the guy and his partner won 300,000 in tournaments last year. Oh, yeah, we fighting.
Right?
Because here's the thing. You won 300,000 in cash and all the sponsorships. But my whole thing is, how you ain't catch on from it? Like, nobody's that good of a fisherman that you win in all these tournaments. There's got to be something.
Look,
don't they have a checks and balances?
Well, they do. But they X-ray.
But DP, them weights in there was the size of this microphone.
Well, I would imagine that it looks something like
organs?
An organ, one of the fish's organs. I'm not sure.
They had to be paying people off.
Oh, I mean, you have to have somebody on the staff who's sole job is to stuff the fish. Like, he's just on the boat.
Don't they have video cameras on these guys, though?
Yeah,
oh,
but
they're lead sinkers. Yeah, that's what they are, lead sinkers. Who are you can't x-ray lead? I don't know what that means.
I mean, it's amazing, right? You just go this is the brilliance about cheaters and villains. They're all exceptionally smart. But they spend all of their time trying to figure out how to cheat rather than how to just win.
They squeezed the walleye, and then they felt something solid, and then they found the lead weight, lead sinkers.
Wow.
And then it must not have been detectable by x-ray. Wow. I don't know. Rubber duck from
Judge Mills. Judge Mills from Caddyshack. Billy? Billy? I
haven't seen Caddyshack in a minute.
Oh, Judge Mills is one of my favorite characters, period, ever. So football is steroids cheating.
What? I don't know.
I mean, it's just your opinion. There's no right or wrong to it. It's just your opinion. Is football – because if steroids is cheating, if it's cheating in football or it's cheating in baseball or it's cheating in basketball, then does that mean it's cheating in everything?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is steroids cheating? Like, do you look at a guy who's naturally built or a guy who's steroid built? Do you look at them the same way?
Well, it depends on the sport.
I mean, there's some guys that are in the Hall of Fame that.
Oh, there's a ton of dudes in
steroids.
Oh, there's a ton of dudes in the Hall of Fame, in every Hall of Fame,
yeah,
who are on steroids or who are on stimulants or amphetamines or whatever it was. So it's just there. But look,
I mean,
then the question is,
a couple of my baseball friends that played major leagues. They pretty much were like, well, it's almost flip. If you're the only one not doing it, you're like the dumb one during that time.
I mean,
of like Sosa and McGuire, like you'd be looking at like you're a dumb one. Like, so, why wouldn't you?
So my stepdad used to tell the stories of, so he was a DC cop, and he would tell the stories of athletes who would come to DC and play. And they would always get busted because they would go to areas of town where they would go and get amphetamines or speed or whatever it was. They would take caffeine pills. They would take speed. It was a regular thing. The story of Vita Blue. No, it was John Odom, Blue Moon Odom. And he told a story of, Doc Ellis with the Pittsburgh Pirates, that he threw a perfect game. He doesn't remember a single pitch.
Yep.
That's how under the influence he was. Like, they're fighters who, in the special bottle of water, there's something that kicks in and gets them through the later rounds. So I think you'd end up trying to figure out what is cheating.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the steroid thing.
It's technically, technically it is breaking the rules.
Yeah,
it's just how you interpret if everyone else is breaking the rules. How do you interpret that?
And it's kind of just whatever. Like we were talking about, whatever your number is. We got a text in here from my man Derek. Derek, I got the energy in here, so we bring in the energy. He wants to know, coming up, should they open up the playbook to include some bubble screens or jailbreak screens? And is Whipple correct in questioning his players' confidence and attempt to motivate them? The first one, I mean, I think the playbook is plenty open. I mean, it looked like, but yeah, I think screen game and jailbreak screen to get some guys, some other, you know, different opportunities to make big plays, would be good against Rutgers. You know, they got a little bit of the injury bug going on, and plus, you know, they're going to probably be real heavy trying to stop the run. So then therefore, you know, obviously try to exploit some of their weaknesses. Now I know Ohio State, you know, obviously ran the ball at a good clip against them. And you know, so forth and so on. So I think the biggest thing, to be honest with you, I know it's going to sound pretty bland, is that they just need to get better executing up front, you know, as far as the run blocking and pass blocking, being more consistent, getting on guys, because Anthony Grant has shown you that he can find the holes when they're made, but then also make a average or bad block look good. So biggest thing is to get more consistent, then everything else will, you know, work itself out. You know, the regular screen game is probably a little bit hard because our, you know, offensive linemen aren't as, you know, fleet of foot. But I think the jailbreak screens in bubble screens could bode well, because when you have Vokolek, Chancellor Bloomington, and all over receivers that block well, we can get out there on the edge and create some pretty good seams. So I think that's something they probably have, and if it's there, they'll take advantage of it. As far as the question of players' confidence to motivate them, I don't know. I mean, I didn't really hear the quote or hear what he said, so I really can't comment. I think, I think the biggest thing is that he wanted more urgency, I think I heard, on offense, which, sure, that's great. You know, really, I'd want more urgency in execution. I would probably try to eliminate the direct access of hitting our quarterback dead in his face all the time and not having a clean pocket. So, but then I think the urgency as well, urgency in the route running, you can see that in sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Like, and you know what people don't understand is that if you're running I can just speak from a defensive standpoint. So I think sometimes people think just because you play defense or offense that you don't know the opposite. I think it's actually the opposite. I know that's like a tongue twister. If you really are about your business as a defender, you're going to study offenses of what makes an offense good and what can affect you as a defender. Me as a defender, if I am, checking a running back, tight end, or a slot receiver, or somebody coming in my zone or matchup zone or whatever, if a receiver has the ability to change the pace of his routes with being efficient with his footwork, that's the guy that really can run routes. And so that can help out some, and as far as urgency, that can help out. And then there's times that you want to be less urgent and be more patient. So, I like that Whipple's challenging the guys. He's challenging them to do better, to be more consistent for four quarters. Start out the first drive, then you fall asleep for like a quarter and a half, and then, you get one touchdown because, obviously we blocked the punt, and then we don't score again until the fourth quarter. I mean, his expectations are with our talent that we should be, more consistent, first, second, third, fourth quarter. So I like that. I like it when, a coach is motivating players and challenging them to do better because he believes in them as well. He's not, the one thing I could probably say for Coach Whipple, I can't speak for him again, but just going off of his pedigree and what he's, said, is that he's not going to ask anything of you that he doesn't believe that you can do. Mickey either, or primarily probably any of the coaches. So, wanting them to do better, play with more urgency, and be more consistent, there's nothing wrong with that. You need to worry when he's like, oh, yeah, we're just, we're good where we're at. No, we're not. We need to be better, because he knows they can be better. Everybody can, be better. So, I like it. I like it that he's ready to go. They see a tremendous opportunity on Friday night. They see a tremendous challenge, but with every challenge comes a reward. So it's something that they can do. Hadn't been done around here since 2018. I think nice Mike Riley, two Big Ten wins in a row. And then, set yourself up for a nice game after that. So I think it's something that, is definitely on the table, and they need to approach it with the utmost respect and intensity as possible.
A couple of quotes from Mark Whipple today along with, hey, this is an opportunity. We can win the Big Ten West, so we should begin to act like it. But he also said, I was not happy with the way we played. I was happy with the way we finished. And then I told him on Monday, look, guys, this is the reality. We are in first place. That is where you're at, so let's go forward from here. We have a chance, and that is all you can ask for in this world. He goes on. You cannot miss the chance for a touchdown when Trey is running wide open in that situation, talking about sacks. As I said, Casey bounced back, and I have to coach him better. My frustration in that part is I have to coach better. I'm pointing a finger at myself. So like I said, this season we're almost halfway there, and I said we have a chance. We have wasted so many opportunities. As an older person, this thing goes by fast. You have to make sure you're on your P's and Q's, and that was the frustrating part. And then he finished with, they may not like me, but they know when they come in there that they're going to have a good classroom. They're going to learn, and they're going to get better. And that way, they're going to be a better person. That is the most important factor, and I was probably looking in the mirror before that game. With that week off, saying, how can I be better? How can I help these guys get over the top? And they made the play in the fourth quarter, and it just worked. We missed that play about three times earlier in the year and then finished the game. It's going to be the same thing this one. It's going to be fourth quarters. We'll have to find a way. Jay?
Yeah, I like it. I like it. The, you know, he's not backing down from what he wants, you know, and so, but he's clear with what he wants, right? The expectation isn't going to change, and that's number one. And then number two, there's accountability on his own, right? Said he was frustrated, and he's probably frustrated, you know, holistically, and wanted Casey to play a little bit better, and he made a decision, and so forth. I like somebody that can live with whether it's a right, wrong, or decision, and but be accountable for it. And because the players, or as a player, I'd feel like we're in it together. Nobody's above any type of criticism or questioning, long as it's not personal for the betterment of the team. And I like that Coach Whipple is taking that approach. But also, he's steadfast in what he believes in and wants the team to play better, you know, quarter one through four, which I just mentioned. So I think it's all good. And, you know, one thing you need to do with the team that's not used to winning, they only won one game now. I mean, listen, the problems aren't solved. There is no let up. This is the time to press more, expect more, work harder, be more efficient. This is when it gets fun. You know, get a little victory out of your way. Let's go for two, and then after that, you can start worrying about that one, the next one after that. But you can't get to three if you don't get to two. So, you know, I know a lot of people have been talking about Chuba going in the game, you know, and all this other stuff, and, you know, questioning. You know, look, man, I hear people talking about penalties, right, in reference to like Mickey and this coaching staff penalty. Listen here, dude, they ain't have a problem. When Scott came in from UCF and they had a ton of penalties, and they had to, we were penalized like all the time. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So penalties are subjective a lot of the times, and I'd rather you be aggressive. The self-induced penalties are what's would be frustrating, right? Not lining up right, delay a game, all that type of stuff that you can control. You can't control if a ref sees something already kind of written the review of the movie before actually taking that half a second and say, okay, was that a 50-50 play? Was that good, aggressive Big Ten football? Or was that just a pass interference because I want to throw it because the big boss is watching? Or that's just the way they are as a crew. So, but then as far as like Chuba going in the game, I mean, look, man, I've been pulled before. I've been questioned before. You always say as a coach, the there is no right time for it except for when you make that decision. I think the only thing you could probably want to probably maybe have back is probably dropping back with a quarterback that hadn't played at all at 5-yard line. But at the end of the day, I don't even really question that because it's your job as a quarterback not to lose the ball.
Right. I mean, through all of the stuff that was
through all that, there's an answer to every question.
I found Whipple saying that here's the new standard.
Yeah, I have no problem with it.
Like, that to me is another box to check. Because
I have no problem with it. I mean, maybe a little quick, but sometimes, look, man, I mean, it's no different than basketball. I mean, I know it's two different sports, but if there's times when I've even seen LeBron come out of the game early because he's just not into it yet, or just kind of, you know, your body just ain't sometimes, you know what I mean? Just not firing yet, or you're just a little, you could either be too fast or too slow.
There are too many times in recent Nebraska sports history where hindsight told us that there were opportunities that had they been taken advantage of when they existed, like baseball last year, several games along the way that they had the opportunity to win games, and then they get to the end of the season and they need one more game. Well, the right time is now. Right time now set it. Go and beat a team that you should be able to beat.
Yeah, but I think it's bigger than that. And I don't mean to, like, you know, minimize what you're saying. If you can coach the quarterback, who's the most important player on the team, right? I mean, let's be honest. Whether Case is a captain or not,
right?
He is the captain.
Right.
You can coach him hard. You can coach anybody hard.
Yeah.
There is no favoritism. And it's not personal. Because if it was personal, Casey would have never been back in the game. There's been coaches around here that have benched guys, and it had to be personal, because how does a guy go from starting in, say, like week three to never playing again?
Right.
That's like, to me, I would say that's humanly impossible. For DP to start the first three games, have a bad game, right? Now, granted, if it's leading up to that, but again, I was choosing to put him out there, right, at like corner or whatever, defensive tackle, and then all of a sudden you have a bad game, and then DP is just nowhere to be found. That means all the practice reps that he's had, all the game reps he's had, all the meetings times he had, it was just hollow. It was like, okay, well, you're just conditional on you playing perfect. There is no perfect game in sports. Yeah. Nobody's perfect. Yeah. Everybody's had a bad game. The one thing that I realized early, if you haven't got, you ain't been playing hard.
You have not been competing.
If you ain't got ran over, you ain't playing hard enough because you're gonna get caught slipping. Nate. Nate over there looking all handsome.
He's got stuff to do. He's got stuff to do.
He got that Kool-Aid smile on him.
Yeah. We'll toward the break. We come back. We'll find out what Nate's day, what his evening's going to be like. I'm sure he's willing to share it. And then we'll talk more about what happened. And Bill Bush had some things to say. We'll talk about those as well as the Huskers
Nate,
prepare.
There he
for
is,
the
ladies
Scarlet
and gentlemen.
Knights.
Look at him. Cheesy. Look at him.
You're listening to Old School with DP and J. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.